3, 2, 1.
This podcast is brought to you by Manly.ie, Ireland's pharmacy for men. Manly.ie is a dedicated space for men's health, wellness and grooming online. Access practical online and face-to-face advice as well as in-depth product range tailored to support men's health in Ireland. Visit Manly.ie for more and you can follow them on social media.
Okay, I'm here. I'm Ben Burney on the Backdoor GAA podcast. I'm here with Rory Jacob from Wexford. How are you doing, Rory?
Good, Ben. Good.
And Willie Maher from Tipperary. How are things, Willie?
Good, Ben. Yeah, great. Thanks.
Good. We'll start with the, from myself and yourself, more disappointing bit of the weekend, Rory. We'll start. Wexford draw at Westmead, 215 to 21 points. I don't want to be too negative because fair play to Westmead, but what happened in the game?
Well, sure, first and foremost, from Westmead's point of view, sure, Ben, it was a great result, to be fair to them. They've been knocking on the door in the Leinster Championship really so far this year. You know, they did well against Kilkenny for a good period of the game, and to push Dublin as well strong. So, you know, going up there against Wexford last week with the form we've been showing, I suppose they probably would have fancied their chances. And then with the, I suppose, the inside track there to have with Joe Fortune over it as well, they probably had an extra motivation as well. So from their point of view, they did everything right. You know, they started the game excellently and, you know, got into the game early. They missed a few early chances, 4 or 5 chances really in the first 3 or 4 minutes, and kind of didn't settle themselves into the game. But as the game went on, they settled well and hurled well and showed a good fluency in their game. And, geez, we never seemed to get going really at all. We were sluggish and didn't seem to be up for the battle at all. And looked like we had, I don't think we did, but it looked like we were taking it for granted that we were just going to go out up the Westmead and win the game and move on to next Sunday. And, you know, we kind of got caught then with 2 sucker punches of goals. You know, the first one, Mark Fanning kind of, he'll know himself, he made a mistake on it and sort of lost it maybe in the sun. And the second one, sure, when you leave a team in the game with 2 or 3 minutes left and the ball lands in around the square, there's always a chance someone will get a flick on it. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, probably a chance there was a square ball, I'd say. But you'll get those breaks when you're after pushing strong. And, you know, from Wexford's point of view, it's a disaster. You know, it is. There's no point in saying anything else. You know, we would expect to win that game. And, you know, we expect people in Wexford would expect to win that game. And there's probably disappointment and the place is pretty low afterwards. But at the same time, we're still in the championship. We have an opportunity next week to right the wrongs and get going for next week. So hopefully the lads will knuckle down this week and bring a big performance against Kilkenny, because it'll certainly... yesterday's performance or Saturday's performance won't be near up to scratch, and we'll have to batten down the hatches and pull out one of those famous Wexford performances, I think, to get anything out of Nolan Park next week.
Are they becoming that famous anymore? I don't want to be too negative now.
I don't know, but sure, we'll see what's going to happen. It's going to be a tough week for the lads. They're going to have to deal with a lot of, I suppose, criticism and talk and where they are. So they're going to have to keep the head down and try and muster up something, try and muster energy. The game lacked energy yesterday. Certainly, you know, defenders weren't up tight enough and our men and our forwards just didn't find any fluency in their game. So it's going to be a tough ask. But at the same time, they're capable of it. There's good players there. So hopefully they can rise it up again. It's only 5 or 6 days, and maybe in ways they're lucky they've only 5 or 6 days to wait to play another game and get going again. Because if you had to wait any longer, I think the amount of talk and the amount of criticism you get could drain you. So hopefully they won't have too much time to think about it and drive on again, you know.
We're now joined by Graham Clark as well. How are you doing, Graham?
How are you, lads? How's things?
Good.
Good. Good, Graham.
Graham, been from, we'll say, a so-called weaker county, would you be like almost inspired by or delighted that Westmead got that result against Wexford?
Fuck, you would be like, you know, I'm sure Rory will probably press the They're buttoning me now, like, but no, you would be, like, and there's not too many days a county like Westmeath's going to beat or draw or whatever, being competitive with, like, say, the top three or four in Leinster. Like, you know, I don't even know in the past, since the new format's come in, has there been any shocks they got, really, like, you know? And I suppose from Wexford's point of view, you know, they didn't put Westmeath away, you know, so... With Tommy Doyle and some of the defence that Westmeath have, there's always that chance. If you don't put a weaker county away, you're leaving the minute and leaving the minute, and that's what happened at the end, really, you know. And Jesus, fair play to Westmeath, like, but it leaves Wexford with a lot to do now. Like, we'll get into Nolan Park to try to beat Kilkenny, like, and Kilkenny seem to have really lifted the level of their game in the last few years. This year, really, more, you know, the new strings to the bow, the short, long, you know, they're doing a lot of good things that I would say a lot of hurling folk would be happy with. Like,
from your perspective in Tipperary, Willie, would you be giving us much of a chance? We're obviously going to be heavy underdogs.
Yeah, I think so, but, like, you never know, and that's that's the thing with this championship as regards. You'd wonder, and you'd probably question, like, with the Wexford group as regards, how is there a hangover, I suppose, from being so system-orientated to try to come out of that? And it's a real transition of how you play now under new management. So I think it'll be an interesting battle. I think, like, Kilkenny were very impressive the weekend, but at the same time, like, Dublin really showed nothing up front, and Kilkenny just kind of, you know, they hammered them. So I think it's all on one match, and I think if there's anything in this Wexford group, which there is, and Wexford is a hurling county, I think you have every opportunity to go to Nolan Park. But as Rory said there, it's a big week for players, and it's a big week for just not letting that noise in. And, you know, like, Wexford is a good league, and all the championship has been up and down, but at the same time, it's all on one game. So I suppose, it's a massive focus, and possibly anything can happen Saturday night.
And from your perspective, Willie, I think Tipperary still have a chance to go through. Did you see that coming?
Not really, but at the same time, I suppose, like, the Cork, there was, like, we were looking at the league final, they didn't show up. The first round championship against Limerick, they didn't show up. The match against Clare, they didn't show up. Like, you know, there's three or four big days of All-Ireland last year. That's 4 days in a row that Cork didn't show up. So there had to be something in the group, and going to Welsh Park, you know, massive result. But I didn't see it coming. No, I thought we were, you know, I thought we'd be out at this stage, but mathematically we have a chance. And when you have a chance, there's hope, and we have a good team. Like, there's absolutely no doubt about that. The results haven't shown that, but we have a lot of really, really good players. So where there's hope, as I said, we'll all go to Turris on Sunday and see, can we get the business done? But on the back of that, Cork now will be hugely confident, knowing that their fate is in their own hands. So it's, very interesting. It isn't a gas that, you know, like, now where Watford were being, as it was, written up as the favourites, the joint favourites for the All-Ireland behind Limerick, now they potentially could be out of the championship. So a week is a long time in sport and politics, and certainly is in hurling.
Yeah, this thing can change very, very quickly. Like, yeah, you know, like, again, going back on the Wexford thing against Kilkenny, but, you know, yesterday is going to be completely forgotten about next Saturday evening at about 6:15, you know, when the game gets going. And, you know, if Wexford can get into the game early and hit Kilkenny early with a few scores and get our confidence up, like, there's still very good players in our team, like, you know, Lee Chin, Rory O'Connor, Conor McDonald, you know, all them, Liam Ryan, Dio, Keith, Limo, McGovern, all these guys, top-class players for a long time and have performed consistently well for maybe seven, eight years for Wexford now, you know, and these fellas will be hurting this week, and they'll, you know, really, to call a spade, some of them fellas are coming to the end of their days, you know. There's five or six of them are probably in their last year or two, maybe playing inter-county, and they won't want to go out on a whimper now next Sunday playing against Kilkenny or you know, having that result against Westmeath as kind of the last memory of them, you know. Them guys are proud players, and they're leaders as well. And, you know, I suppose the kind of worrying thing for me from the Wexford point of view is that, you know, Dara is there now and he's been there all year, but really the team hasn't really changed a whole lot. The personnel on the team, you know, were, and I wouldn't be. I think the players we have, those older fellas are excellent players, but we haven't really got the strength and depth of other counties, and that is a worry going forward. You know, those guys that we have last Sunday or last Saturday are good enough to beat Kilkenny, and they're good enough for this championship. But in the next 3 or 4 years, have we got the depth coming through? And that's kind of a worry. You look at Tipperary. They've had a huge transition and a huge turnover of players, and yet they're still able to put it up to Limerick a week ago with all these new players and all the players they're missing. I would doubt in the same situation, if we were in the same situation, losing those 5 or 6 top-class leaders in the group that Tipperary have, whether we'll be able to do that. And that's a kind of a worry, and that for me is probably the biggest issue for Wexford now going forward. Regardless of what we do next week, you know, I expect these guys to put on a big performance next week. To be honest, as I said, I've played with a lot of them, and they're top class men, and they're going to be hurting this week, and they will respond. But if the next 2 or 3 years or 4 years that down the line is where I'd be slightly worried to see, have we got the depth of talent coming? It's doubtful at the moment. There's a lot of work needed. There's a lot of development needed on a lot of guys, and that for me, for Wexford, is probably a bigger issue than maybe a result against Westmeath yesterday, or even the result against Kilkenny next Saturday.
When we look at Cork's victory over Waterford and the change in style, like from this playing through the lines, playing back to the goalkeeper, tippy tappy stuff. And all of a sudden, you put Seamus Harney in the half-forward line. He wins a few puckouts. You put Tim O'Mahony into the full forward line. He's able to win the ball. Is it the way forward, the old-school way, Graham?
Well, I think they still have that variation, you know. But I think they sort of went back to basics maybe a wee bit and said, listen, forwards, you are going to have to work harder, you know. It seemed to me as if they sort of said to themselves, listen, lads, if the ball doesn't come in perfectly, you are going to have to fight for it, like, you know. And that's a common denominator nearly across all the teams. The best teams, their forwards seem to be working so hard, you know. Like, even look at Kilkenny, Dublin, like Will was saying earlier there. The Kilkenny forwards outwork the Dublin forwards as well. And I know Kilkenny might say have more talented forwards or whatever, but I just thought that the teams that done well over the weekend, they're working so hard to put the other team under pressure so that they couldn't work the ball through the lines. And I thought Cork done that very well, released the ball early, played short, you know, varied their game a wee bit more. And inside, they had O'Mahony and these guys who were working so hard. If they didn't win the first ball, they were making it very difficult for Waterford to break through the lines. And, you know, getting back to Wexford, like, you know, Wexford, I don't think Brian Cody will take Wexford very easily at all. Like, you know yourself that with the forwards that Wexford have, if they click, they can be very hard to beat, you know. And again, it all comes down. It's great that it all comes down to one weekend again, you know, with those teams. And I think Wexford get out of jail. They know, right, well, you know, it's we're going down to one weekend, one championship game, 50-50. Let's go for it. And the same with Tip Cork and the rest of the teams are Munster, you know. So it is something to look forward to, but I do think Cork will be very hard to beat against Tipperary on Sunday. Like, you know, I just think their tails are up and they maybe have developed that different style, and I think their forwards might realise that they have to start working that 20% more. Like,
if we look at Waterford's performance in the championship so far and Wexford's performance in the championship so far, Willie, do you think maybe both teams maybe have almost peaked too early?
Yeah, possibly. It's always the thing, isn't it? After a good league campaign, I know obviously Waterford hammered Wexford in the semi-final, but like Waterford had a really good, an excellent league, obviously winning it. Liam was very kind of adamant afterwards, in fairness to him, trying to keep a lid on it. The biggest game of the year, as he said at the time, was the Tip match in Welsh Park, and they got through that. But you know, they had a, you know, relatively well against Limerick the next night. But that match against Cork, and I think that was a make or break for this Cork unit. And I think it was Cork performed, as you said, Harnedy on the half forward line was very, very effective. But I think Kieran Joyce gave them an anchor at centre back that they previously hadn't got. So they're maybe finding their, you know, they're finding their team, because they have a lot of young players having minor or multiple minor under 21 the last 2 or 3 years. So I think as Graham said there, their tails will be up now going to Thurles on Sunday, knowing that the championship is in their own hands. And I think that will give them a great confidence, because you can imagine what that group is after going through after four big days in a row as regards not performing and the questions that they had both internally and the noise of the Cork public outside. So I think that match last weekend will give them a huge, huge lift. Waterford, obviously, look very, very disappointed. But like you look at it, Tadhg Na Bhfear was in a bit of bother, hasn't been playing as fluidly as before. Éire Le Daily, I think, is a massive loss, because just it gives them another back as regards, and obviously what didn't play the weekend. And also Conor Punty seemed to be, you know, wasn't at the heights that he has been. Similarly with Jamie Barron, probably hasn't enough training, hurling done in his legs. So they've had a few issues as well. And it's the nature of it. But I think, as the lad said there, to have the Leinster and the Munster Championship all on the one day, no dead rubbers, which everyone was afraid of. And it's fantastic. And I can't wait. I've got to go to Nolan Park on Saturday night. And I'll probably go to Thurles on Sunday as well. So I think, really, really exciting times for hurling. And I can't wait for this weekend, like, you know.
And when we look at that Tipperary team, obviously a lot of changes in Tipperary over last year or two, people calling for a lot of change. With the big game against Cork have been bringing in a lot of those young lads who are involved in under 20, under 21 finals. Like, Cork are obviously going to be favourites because the way they played the last day. Tipperary...
It's hard to know, because like you're looking at it and like Tip won obviously two under 20s going back, let's say, before Cork won theirs. And I think Cork only barely beat us in the Munster finals on the way to those. So, like... You know, we have these players, and particularly the ones like we have a lot of really good young players, 22, 23. And now is the time to step up. And I suppose it's a shot at everything on Sunday for Tip, because we were kind of, you know, mathematically we're still in the championship, but no one has given us a hope. So as I said, where there's hope, and we have a good team, a lot of obviously stalwarts not there for the last couple of years, but at the same time, like, look, you know, you go right through the team. Like Greg Morgan, top class. Barry Hogan, the goal, good. Dylan Kirk is playing well. You know, Jake Morris is a bit of form. The last day, 3 points in play. Mark Yeo is a top player. Connor Bowes after coming into it. Like, there's a lot of players. Jer Brown played well the last day. You know, there's a lot of players there. So I think, look, we will fancy our chances every day against Cork, and particularly with this group having beaten them in those 220 finals, as I said.
I think though they're still, even though Cork performed well yesterday, I still think there's question marks over Cork. Like, you know, they're still the same players that have been kind of up and down and very inconsistent for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. Really, you know, I don't think it's a given that they're going to go to Tipperary play Tipperary next week and they're just going to win the game. I think Cork first and foremost yesterday. I think Walsh Park would have suited them. I think from a defensive viewpoint, much, much easier to defend in Walsh Park than it will be in Thurles or Páirc Uíomh. It's a much tighter confines and it's harder to get away from your player. So you can set up defensively much, much easier there. Whereas in a Thurles or Páirc Uíomh, it's much more kind of one-on-one and space can be created. So we saw how space was created against Clare before. And in their earlier games against who did they play? Limerick. So yeah. No, there is still question marks, even though they responded manfully yesterday. You know, they gave an excellent performance, but you know it's still there to be proven for Cork. They're going to have to back that up again next week and bring the same level of aggression, the same level of performance, because Tipperary are there now, and probably before yesterday they're thinking we're out of this championship and we're going to play the last game and, you know, the year is over. And now they've a half a chance, you know, and Tipperary are going to fancy that. You know, Colin Bonner and these lads are going to have them riled up and they'll come with all guns blazing against Cork, and they're going to have to stand up to that, because, you know, even though they were good yesterday, you know, again, I still think there's little question marks over them. Can they back it up? Can they bring that same energy? It's not that simple. Like, you know, it's only 5 or 6 days later, and you know, to come down from that game yesterday, the emotion they showed, the energy they showed, and to come back up again, even though these lads are well trained, it's still not that easy to bring yourself down, to bring yourself back up again and bring another performance. And they're going to have to bring that next week again, because, as I said before, Tip I think are going to fancy it as well.
Waterford were obviously won the league, highly touted before. There was a lot of talk that they were going to play Limerick three times. It was going to be the round robin, Munster final, All-Ireland final. Everyone was talking about it. Now it looks like Waterford won't even get out of Munster. Where do you think it's gone wrong for them, Graham?
I don't know. Like, you know, and you would actually put a query then on the league. You know, we all have commented during the year. We've been on these podcasts and stuff, and we're commenting on how many, you know. So what sort of duress do you actually put on the league? Like, there are some of these teams training heavily, like Limerick had some erratic performances during the league, and you're thinking to yourself, is that Limerick gone? And so what were Waterford beating during the league? What were Wexford beating during the league? You would say to yourself as a hurling man, you know, whereas if you take the likes of Galway, were erratic during the league, and they seem to be better. They seem to be getting better during the championship. Maybe even Tipperary, something the same, like the lads have alluded to there. Are Tipperary getting better the more games they're playing together at championship pace with some of their different players out? People have to realise too that Cork and Tip are serious traditional counties of hurling. You know, it's not a Down or a Westmeath you're dealing with here. There's hurlers from every parish in Tip and Cork, I'm sure, and William and even Wexford there and Rory could tell you. There's hurlers all over them counties that could probably change a game in the championship. So no, I don't think there'll be any quarter asked or given this weekend. I don't think any team between Cork or Tip will be huge favourites here or there. But getting back to your Waterford question, like, I was one who said that Waterford had a brilliant panel. But you'd wonder to yourself, like, Seamus Harmony ran riot against Waterford. And with the athleticism of Waterford in the past 2 months, you would have said to yourself, surely Waterford had somebody that could have sort of took Harmony out of the game. Because you can be guaranteed that Colin Bonner sitting down tonight, well, where's the dangers? Where's the dangers of Cork? And they'll be putting somebody big and strong, so Harmony's not going to win too many high balls. And getting back to Rory then, like, if Cork aren't winning high balls on their own puck outs, where are they going to win? Because aerially, they're not that strong, you know, and maybe that's why Tim O'Mahony was brought in. So all them questions, I would say Conal Bonner will be sitting down over the weekend here, or next few nights, and trying to tidy up on it. Like,
I think Waterford, though, going back to them, will be unbelievably flat, I would imagine. You know, they were, as you said, Ben, they were being talked up for the last 5 or 6 weeks as being the real genuine contenders to Limerick. And now, all of a sudden, it looks like they're more than likely going to be out of the championship. You know, unless there's a mad sequence of the results, I think it looks like they're going to be out of it. So I'd imagine the Waterford group this week are very, very flat and low, because I'd say they can't believe they're in this position, really, you know. But that I suppose is the dangers of this championship. It's the beauty of the Munster championship. Any team can beat anybody in it. And, you know, even though Cork weren't going well, there was always the chance yesterday that they were going to produce a performance. You could hear that even in the commentary in the analysis from Waterford before the game. They were nervous of this one. They were trying to rile themselves up for it. And I was wondering to myself, did they expend all their energy trying to beat Limerick down in the Gaelic grounds? And they just didn't have that real buzz and energy yesterday to bring it to Cork when it really mattered. It felt like that to me anyway. It just looked like they were that little bit off the pace. Their forwards hadn't the same buzz. Their backs were that little bit off their men, as Graham said. And, you know, when it came down to it in the last 10, 15 minutes, they were kind of caught in a zone where they were saying to themselves, I can't believe we're here now, that we're having to try and dig this out. We're supposed to be winning this game, you know. And then you can mentally get caught in a place where you're not able to bring your best performance. And that's what it felt like that to me yesterday anyway, from Waterford's point of view. And, you know, not that I feel sorry for them or anything like that, but you would kind of empathise with them that they kind of pushed the boat out to beat Limerick, and now they're gone flat, and it looks like they're going to exit the championship.
You think the hype got to them?
I'm not sure, Ben. I don't think so. I think these lads are around long enough to not be too worried about that. I just think myself. It's probably more of a just an energy thing. That just the energy they expended to try and take on Limerick and try and beat Limerick. You know, even though they had 2 weeks maybe between the game, sometimes that can take its toll, and it's hard to maybe rise yourself again. You're coming out of the Limerick game saying, Jesus, if we get Limerick again, we'll take them. We know how to beat them. We know their strengths. We know their weaknesses. We weren't that far off. And all of a sudden, you have to play a Cork animal who are coming down to kind of prove everybody wrong, really, that we're still around. And you get caught in the headlights, and you just can't bring it back. You know, it's a difficult place out there. Sometimes it's a lonely place out there on your own when you don't have that energy, and just they lack that real buzz yesterday that Waterford have had. And again, probably going back to it, I said about the pitch suiting Cork. It probably the pitch in Walsh Park doesn't suit Waterford. I think I just don't see where the space is to open it up for Desi Hutchins and these guys. Desi, we hardly saw him in the game. Now to be fair to Sean O'Donoghue, he gave a great performance on him, but there's no space in Walsh Park for the likes of him to operate in, and for Waterford to get their running game going. And I know they can't change their pitch or anything, but if I was the Waterford County Board, I'd be looking to try and extend it a little bit and push it out and maybe widen it out a little bit, because it's not a pitch that suits their game and their players, I think.
Kilkenny now hammered Dublin. A few people said to me that Dublin aren't too bad when they beat Wexford, and I was thinking, there's no Wexford. Wexford just should have beaten them. What are your thoughts on that, William?
Yeah, it's. I didn't see that level of defeat coming for Dublin as regards and like Kilkenny. In fairness, I actually met a Kilkenny hurler on Sunday, and I was chatting to him about the game. And he said we really pressed them. We really went after them, and as regards all over the field, and we didn't allow kind of spare men to develop or sweepers to really start dictating the game. And I think physically Kilkenny were really good, but also the ball into the Dublin full forward line, into Rowan Hayes, Fergal Whiteley, these fellas were lovely stick men. But like, I think 8 or 10 balls went in, and there was no collection of any shape or form. And so there was no threat, and the Kilkenny defenders coming out with the ball then. And in fairness, as Graham said, I think earlier on in the conversation there, Kilkenny have changed as well. And they're probably changing as regards putting the short ball, working the ball through the line, playing heads-up possession hurling, while also having the advantage of being able to lamp it in long and having TJ Reid at the end of it, or Owen Cody, or whoever. So I think it'll be a massive game the weekend, but I think Kilkenny will be in a great place. But I think, again, everything is on this weekend, and it doesn't matter what Kilkenny did last week. If Wexford comes to town and turn them over, like Wexford are in. So I think massive game on the weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think, look, it's really heating up as regards with Galway already qualified and the two remaining spots up for grabs. I think it's fascinating. But again, I know Dublin will be very disappointed, to answer your question, with the weekend, when the physical stakes were up, when the, I suppose, championship intensity in Parnell Park, where they pride themselves as regards having a really good record, like they didn't want to know, and Kilkenny blew them away. And I was blown away with the surprise or the ease in which Kilkenny got the performance.
Like, it's kind of one of those where I thought just Dublin could give it a right go, and then they lose big again. And afterwards, I was thinking, of course, like,
yeah, no, it's absolutely. And even after the win in Wexford Park, which was a really big win for that Dublin team over a Wexford team, I think we'd beaten them 6 or 7 times before. Like, they just never got going. Big crowd in Parnell Park. Their home supporters, and just physically, I felt that they were off it. Kilkenny were dictating the terms of engagement. They were going after the Dublin players, forcing them to make the mistakes physically. Again, Kilkenny, really strong halfback midfield area. I think Alan Murphy got 2 or 3 points. Kilkenny got 4 or 5. You know, a lot of scores in that area as well. So look, Kilkenny really, really happy. Seem to have found a few players as well. Albeit, from a local perspective here in Bennisbridge, we're not happy that Davy Blanchfield is not playing. But again, he came on for a few minutes. But like, look, Kilkenny are in a good place heading into the weekend. But again, fascinating contest in store.
Sorry, Ben, for cutting across you, but sometimes when you wonder about when you look at a couple of games at the weekend, when you wondered about the pitch scenario, so just for talk's sake, like you know, Ben, say for if we ask Rory or William, do you think Parnell actually suits Dublin? Like Dublin played Kilkenny what 2-3 weeks ago in the end of the league and got well beaten in Parnell. You know, and then again the same with Walsh Park. Like whenever Austin Gleeson sent off, Waterford had nearly zero chance of getting a few goals in that game because Kieran Joyce was sitting back. It was so tight. The confines of that pitch were so tight. It was going to be very hard to break Cork down. So sometimes at that level that you guys are playing at, or you guys, Rory and Will, have played at, you'd wonder about tight pitches for your forwards. Like I would think if you asked Ronan Hayes or Trolley or some of them Dublin forwards where they'd rather play, I would say they would say Croke Park. Like,
yeah, I agree with Graham there. Sorry to go across you. I think the pitch thing is, it can't be underestimated, because I think it's for ball players and wanting to play a specific type of game. I don't think Parnell Park suits Dublin either. And I think they probably play better in Croke Park, as they did last year against Galway in the semi-final. So I think it's a massive difference. And similarly with Tip going to Waterford in the first round, I felt the compact nature of the place allowed us to set up well. And potentially we could have won the match. So I think definitely with the team that Waterford had, it's probably well discussed at this stage. But and the surface is so good now, Welsh Park, yes, but it is tight confines, and and again, another bugbear of mine in Welsh Park, the goalposts are so low. It's just the whole thing is just it's small, and it's great, I suppose, being the underdog. But Waterford aren't the underdogs anymore, and I think it's come back to them, like, you know.
Hey, Rory, whenever I was playing against Wexford, I needed the goals themselves a lot smaller than the goal post.
You're okay, Graham. You're well edited. There's no problem. There's no problem. You pulled off a few fine saves now. I remember you saving a few.
It must have been low shots.
It's interesting that you think that Walsh Park doesn't suit Waterford and Parnell Park doesn't suit Dublin.
The questions didn't suit you said that one time.
I think there is a point that with Dublin, all right, but geez, I'm not sure this Dublin team. I really don't know. I think they give good performances from time to time, but I don't know. They seem to get to a certain level and they're not able to go any further. And at the moment, it seems like that anyway. And again, I know I've said this loads of times on this pod with Paul, but Dublin need a bit of madness in their team. Like, I just think there's no bit of madness or wildness in their team. Matty himself is a grand sort of a placid fella as a manager as well. I just think they're missing a little bit of wildness. Brian Lowen brings that bit of wildness into Clare that they need. When Daly was over Dublin, there was that bit of wildness and that bit of madness and that bit of kind of Dublin swagger coming into it. I just think they're lacking that a little bit at the moment, and I don't see them going too much further in this championship this year, to be honest. And maybe that's being harsh on them. They'll probably sneak through in Leinster if we don't beat Kilkenny next week. But I really don't see them going any further. Even though, I agree with Graham with Parnell Park. It doesn't suit their forwards, but you know, even if I look at their forwards, they're not scoring enough. Their scoring rate is not high enough. The other day, you know, Donald Burke got 2 points. A few other lads got a point or two here and there. But, you know, their scoring rate is not there. They have good backs, but whatever it is about Kilkenny, they can't seem to handle Kilkenny at all, whether it's Parnell Park, Croke Park, Thurles or Nolan Park, they can't seem to handle Kilkenny anyway. So, you know, I just don't know. I think Dublin have good players. I think they've excellent players on the team. I just think they need something new and fresh. And that's not being harsh on Matty now, but he's been there 4 or 5 years. And I just don't see them going any further. They've kind of reached a plateau and they can't seem to get over it. So, and a lot of Dublin people will need something extra coming down the line. Who's a little bit of madness and wildness coming into it, and that could be a Daly type of a figure coming back, or even a Davy or somebody like that to bring them on and bring them forward and bring more of an energy into it.
Yeah.
You know, Clare, 24 points. Limerick, 121. A draw. Probably the best game we've seen in the championship so far, Willie.
Yeah, really good. And I think it's again, that whatever, 20,000 people in Cusick Park, I'd say the town of Ennis, full for the day with a local rivalry, local derby taking place. And look, they're the two teams now. Like after three or four games of the Munster Championship, they're in the final. They're the form teams. I again, the day Clare played Tipperary in Thurles, Clare were really good, really organised, used, you know, strong half back line, really fast full back line, and then Shane O'Donnell and Tony Kelly and Peter Duggan, and you know, a lot of players, you know, moving all the time and playing to a very, I think Rory nailed it there as regards that personality of Lone and the that kind of doggedness and that kind of leader, kind of, you know, just real. We can remember that red helmet playing when he was playing full back and he was lording it and he was driving Clare on. He's doing that from the sideline now in a very kind of powerful manner. And look, I don't know the man, but like what a job he's after doing with this group to get them from where they were. And I suppose all the off-field issues that they seem to have over the winter, like to get performances like this in the Munster Championship, like it's a credit to him and everybody involved in it. I just, again, it's brilliant, isn't it, as regards, like, no more than going to Nolan Park on Saturday night. There'll be nearly a full house there, a full house in Ennis last weekend. Like, they're the matches you want, and they're the matches that, I suppose, that as hurling people and 2 or 3 years by not being able to go to matches with COVID, that, you know, we're really enjoying, and I'm certainly enjoying it. But I think Limerick, to get the draw, they'll be very, very happy with, again, 3 or 4 injuries that, if they can get back, they'll be a serious force in the All-Ireland series. And I think we spoke about it earlier as well, that the league kind of teams playing well, and Wexford playing well, and Waterford playing well, and it's about playing well now and from here, as opposed to from getting over the team, because we didn't know what teams were going out in the league. So I think, look, both teams are in great shape. It'll be very interesting to see what team Clare put out the weekend as regards, with nothing on this from a Munster Championship perspective. They're in the final, and you know, I'm surely they'll rest players to really go at the Munster Championship final, and then obviously a tilt to the All Ireland. So look, again, fascinating to see actually what happens and what teams are selected.
Now, I know Limerick didn't exactly put out their full strength team, but they were, Clare did by far put up the biggest show against them. Do you think Clare are genuine contenders, Graham?
Without a doubt. They're everyone can see there. They're physically conditioned well. They're dangerous players inside. They have, and I think as well, a bit like Tip, maybe they're getting better as the championship goes on. They have a good defensive structure. I think it'll take a very, very good team to beat Clare. And that the guy they've run about that pitch, Tony Kelly, like, how do you stop someone scoring 7 or 8 points in play the whole game? It's nearly a given now that he's going to score 7 or 8 points in play. Like, you know, so I do think that they're definitely contenders, like, you know. And here at the same time, I said that Waterford would be contenders 2 or 3 months ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago on a podcast. So, no, I do think Clare will be dangerous. There's no doubting about that. But there's serious hurling to be played yet, lads. You know, you take your Galway's, these Clare's, Limerick's. It'll be interesting to see what Brian Owen does at the weekend, Ben. And you even take it there. You have a couple of serious managers with Rory and Will there, and it'd be good to ask them a question. Like, what would you do? Would you don't want to break momentum of your team going well,
yeah,
and make all changes. But you don't want to tire boys out for the Munster final or whatever. So I don't know. It'd be an interesting question to the two lads. Like, I wouldn't have Manny's the level that two boys have, but it's going to be intriguing what the counties do in them scenarios.
Yeah, I just on that, Graham, I was thinking about it today. I was chatting to someone along the field and we were just talking through what would you do, and like, exactly that momentum is, you don't want to lose that momentum and everything that's built. But at the same time, I think Brian Nolan has to be clever here as regards, he doesn't want Tony Kelly and wrap him up in cotton wool for a Munster final and an All-Ireland series tilt, because look, they've earned that place now. So if I were him, I would be looking at, you know, giving, you know, just give, maybe giving two or three lads a rest. No risk match on Sunday in NLCS. Yes, you want to be right. You want to keep that momentum, but I think he'll be cute enough to manage his squad and the load of the players to make sure they're right for a Munster final.
What do we do when you're marking him, Tony Kelly? Though, remember them, if you remember that point, I think David Fitzgerald gave to him, and he was running away from goal, like out on the sideline, and he just. You know, it wasn't. I didn't. He wasn't in a scoring position, like really, was he?
No, he's unbelievable as regards it. But actually, an interesting one. Maybe we even found that the one, I suppose, ray of hope we had, the tip and clear inside and Thurles with Seamus Kendi, didn't let him hit a ball for the whole match and just went with him and athletically was able to get around. But that was that's the only time I've seen that in a while. That Tony Kelly, look, he's an absolute wizard. He's. I saw Fergal Hegarty, I think it was on Clare FM, I saw a quote today. He said he never saw Christy Ring, but he's wondering is Tony Kelly in that bracket? And look, again, just an unbelievable hurler. And I think if he's on song with the defensive structure that Clare have and the athleticism they have in that area, and they seem to be playing with a lot of confidence, using the ball very well with two or three other forwards as well, Peter Duggan, Shane O'Donnell, these fellas. Like, Clare have a really, really good team with an absolute wizard up front. So to answer your question, I don't know what you do with him because he's a brilliant player.
Now, when we talk about Christy Ring, there's another man from Cork at the weekend who became the all-time championship top scorer, Patrick Horgan. Now, he was whipped off after 40 minutes. If you became the all-time championship top scorer, Rory, but you were whipped off after 40 minutes, I know I myself, I'd be tick. I'd be upset that I was whipped off. I wouldn't be thinking about the other. How would you feel?
I wouldn't think Patrick was too aware whether he was the top scorer at that stage. And he probably wasn't too happy, but at the same time, it's a fair record. You know, yeah. Sure, he's been around for... I don't know how long, 15 years now, and sure, he's been an unbelievable player for Cork. Probably won't be too happy to be taken off, I'd imagine. You know, I know that, like any forward, the same myself. I was playing a match the other night, actually, Gary, incidentally, a junior, an intermediate A match, and the manager said to me at half time, he said, "Do you want the hour?" And I said to him, "I surely do want the hour." It'd be the very same thing with Cork, you know, so. He'd be thinking all the time, I should be on the field. I can operate at this level and I can influence the game. So he'll be disappointed, but at the same time, he'll always have that record that he's the top scorer in the championship, and he still has a big role to play for Cork. Whether that's from the start or even coming on, he'll have a big say in the championship. Yet I'd imagine he's that much of a class player that he won't leave the championship without having made an impact on it, I think, Ben, to be honest with you. So, you know, just I suppose going back to Tony Kelly, I think as well, you were saying about him. I think it's very interesting how Clare use Tony Kelly, to be honest. I think that they play him in different positions and they're always having him drifting around, and it kind of leaves you in a management, from a management point of view, in a conundrum. Do you pick him up or do you let him off? And I think it's interesting. Willie is right against Tipperary. Tip kind of went man on man and said, "Let's pick Tony up and let's shut him out of the game." I know Wexford did something similar last year. Shane Reck did a job on him in Thurles, the very same thing. Limerick seemed to let him drift and let him get into play and pass him on from player to player, and he seems to get scores and space against Limerick maybe easier than other teams. But Limerick kind of shut down the other players, so Limerick are probably saying to themselves, "Sure, let Tony do his thing. He's going to get 15, 16 points maybe. So we'll let him get that. We'll take that, and we'll stop the other fellas from scoring." And if you look at yesterday's game, you know, Shane O'Donnell didn't have as big an influence. Peter Duggan didn't have as big of an influence on the game. Those guys did a lot of hurling in the other game. So Limerick have done that the last few years against them. Even that day in Thurles in the COVID times when there was nobody there, Tony got an outrageous score in that game. I don't know what he scored from play, 13, 14 points or something. But, you know, they kind of do that, I think, Limerick, whereas other teams pick him up. So it's a conundrum. If you pick him up, you're creating space for the other fellas. If you don't pick him up and you pass him on, he's probably going to get his scores, but are the other lads going to be as effective? And that's something that teams will weigh up. You know, Limerick seem to be happy to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see as the year develops what happens with it. Because if you play him centre forward at times and you pick him up, well, that opens up a lot of space for the other forwards. And as I said, Brian Lowen and his management, I think, use him really well. They pick the teams that they're playing him against. When they play against Limerick, I think he plays more on the inside line. If you notice, he played on the inside line a lot yesterday because I think they know that Limerick are going to allow him maybe a little bit more freedom. Whereas against Tipperary, they probably reckon the Tipperary were going to pick him up. So they put him out in the half hour line and open up gaps everywhere else. So it's an interesting one, but you certainly have to be thinking about him if you're going to play Clare, because you're probably not going to beat him if Tony Kelly is having one of those days, you know?
Yeah, and just, sorry, to take up on that, I think that's a brilliant point by Rory as regards that if you go with him, you're leaving space elsewhere. And that's essentially what happened against Tip as regards that it was the other guys really came into it. And I don't know, could you see it on TV or if any of you were at that match? Like, Clare, I think Peter Duggan ended up on the edge of the square twice on his own. If he caught him alone, drove the ball wide, and Shane O'Donnell was over the bar. But Peter Duggan was on his own, 20 yards out. It could have been two more goals, but I think it was very much on the back of what Rory was saying there. Like, they were so focused on Mark and Tony Kelly, other lads were drifting into space. And it's, I think Clare have, you know, they have four or five lads now of really top class quality. And that's a big arsenal for Clare. And depending on whether Tony is on or off, or whether teams really press him or not, they have other players to come into it as well. So they're in great shape.
And lads, another I think we nugget that the guys that Logan's using there is Shane O'Donnell in and around the half forward line at 11, because Declan Hannon can't then go and sort of keep an eye on Tony Kelly when he comes out the half forward line.
Yeah.
So Declan Hannon's very, very busy marking Shane O'Donnell. So no, I think Clare have a good system there, and like you say, they use him well, Rory. Like, you know, probably like your intermediate manager there, he's trying to use you very well there. You know, just like forward and bring you out there, you know, get the old score.
Trying to save the legs a bit, I think, Graham. I think I me, like any other player, Graham, I'm that sort of an animal that I never want to come off the field. And Ben asked the question about Patrick Horgan. I'm sure he's the very man.
Fair play.
Now, last thing we'll talk about, there was more than two red cards, but there was red card for Garrod Hegarty at the weekend. Now, I have to say, it was a bit harsh. Shane Dowling last night on the Sunday game called it a disgraceful decision. Was it just a bit harsh now, or was it actually a disgraceful decision, Willie?
I think, I thought it was very harsh. I think he's been probably punished for his past sins and a few of the strokes that probably potentially he got away with over the last couple of years. Look, I think hurling is in a great place, but I think sometimes there's a few kind of crazy decisions like that. Girl Hegarty getting booked for the first one, I thought was just ridiculous as regards to put the ball down. David Hegarty should have been booked for not, or David McInerney should have been booked for not moving away. And I think, look, very, very harsh. And backing up Shane Dowling on the Sunday game last night, but at the same time, I thought it was a terrible decision. And I let the other boys discuss the Watford sending off.
You want to stay far away from that one as possible, yeah?
No, not at all. I don't think he was. I don't want to come across as completely anti-referee here, but I think he was. I thought Austin was very hard done by as well.
Yes, sure. Both of those red cards really are for nothing, Ben. Like, you know, it's like Jesus. I grew up looking at hurling in the 90s, and there was lads slapping on lads and pulling on lads in the air, and you know, there was high balls coming down, and there could be 10 hurls in the air pulling down on a fella, and the referee would blow on, or a lad could be giving a lad a dig in the corner and nobody would say anything about it, and you'd drive on. I think Willie is right. Like, Garrod Hegarty, to be fair, has been, and he is very, very loose with his hurl. You know, he uses the hurl like he's a magic wand in his hand. You know, he's slapping it and he's pulling it and he's doing everything all the time. He's hitting lads or three times that you wouldn't even notice before he hits the maybe the main slap at the end of it. So, you know, he probably got punished. He definitely got punished for his, I suppose, his past misdemeanors and what people are probably seeing on the television. But how he got that red card yesterday was madness, first and foremost, for the yellow card for the sideline. Geez, that's crazy stuff. Sure. McInerney was standing in his way. It was McInerney should have got the yellow card in that situation. You know, I think he was well within his rights there to let McInerney know that he was hitting this ball and he's going to move it on, to be honest. And the second one, sure, there's nothing happens in it really. You know, I couldn't see anything in it. I don't know where it came from, where the referee got his information from. I don't know. Obviously, the Clare crowd were going to be baying for blood and they were going to be calling for it, but it seemed to be very much a reaction to the crowd's reaction, and there was a kind of a Clare Hurley carrier there as well. He was fairly animated at the time as well, and Clare were probably delighted with him. He did his job. Hegarty very disappointed. He'll get off, but you know, geez, I'd hate to see things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like red cards in the game anyway. I think it's gone overboard. I think you should be looking for a reason not to send the lad off than a reason to send him off, to be honest with you. I think there's too much of that going on now, and we're ruining games with red cards. Like a few weeks ago, we had Clare game. Sorry, Clare against Cork, and there was a few sent off and that as well. And you couldn't believe what on. Like, they're just giving red cards for lads brushing up against each other now. Like, it's just crazy stuff. And the Austin Gleeson one, sure, again, really stupidity from Austin, really, to be honest with you. He's getting involved in stuff. I was looking at the game, and about before that, he was getting involved with one of the Cork cornerbacks as well. He sort of made a pull and a drag out of him, and I sort of said to myself, they're trying to antagonize you, they're trying to target you, which you probably you would do. And, you know, he got drawn into one then with Rob Downey, and there wasn't much in it, like nothing in it, but probably the way the thing is gone, you're going to get a yellow card for that. And when he was on one earlier on, he was going to get a second one. So, like, I feel sorry for him, to be honest, but Jesus, you have to use your head as well, like, at some stage and say, you know, I'm targeted here. You know, it was like a fella said to me today. I was talking to him, and he was talking about Lee Chin for Wexford, and they said to me that Westmead targeted Lee Chin. Like, and I said to him, sure, what else are they going to do? Like, they're going to target Lee Chin. If you're playing against Waterford, you're going to target Austin Gleeson. If you're playing against Limerick, you're going to target Gerard Hegarty and Tony Kelly for Clare or whatever it is. So lads have to be used to that. They have to deal with that, and they're well used to it. So I just think, I don't know, it ruins games. But, you know, from Austin's point of view, he needs to be smarter.
Is Rory gone for you too as well?
The head, and from Hegarty's can move on from it, you know.
Yeah.
But do the two of them not need to be a bit cuter? Like, we're saying there that what Hegarty did before is going before him. So if you know that you have that reputation and you know that a ref is chance of looking, maybe you don't pull on that ball on the sideline, no? You have to be a bit smarter.
I don't know what Hegarty's supposed to do. You know, is he supposed to go in corner forward and not get involved in the whole game? Because just in case he clips somebody with a hurl, like, you know, I know up here we wouldn't be hurling at that level, but there's no way the first one's a yellow, lads. You know, he's pulling on a ball. The second one, I don't even think he clipped your guy's hand.
He hit the hurl, hit the man's hurl. You could see the replay, hit the hurl. That was all. So
he got sent off in a Munster Senior Championship game without making contact with an opponent. Like, that doesn't happen. Like Rory says, that's not really hurling, really, to be honest. Like, you know, and Gleeson, nobody really seemed to know what happened there. What I'm disappointed in, right, is there's nothing but IT and new ideas and all this new technology within all other sports. There's surely a fourth official or a second referee or something that, rather than an umpire, that that you could trust to go and consult. Like, you know, everyone's seen the incident. Surely you don't need to go down into the umpire to see that 70 metres away to see if you're going to send off Groat Hegarty or not on the second yellow for the Limerick game. You know, I just think sometimes that the GAA at this level, the Leinster Championship, the Munster Championship, the speed that the game's going at, the speed the players are moving at, what would happen to an additional referee there?
Yeah.
A proper official referee that you would trust, not an umpire that's not qualified enough. Go and ask a proper referee, not the fourth official, a second referee at those level, and he would say, well, here, I didn't see it. Well, that's fair enough if you didn't see it, but don't send a man off for nothing that's training night and day. You know, I'd be, for like Rory there, I'd be a bit frustrated now. I think that the game's gone so fast, so professional, so physical. I think the referee needs a bit of help. I wouldn't actually blame the referee. I would actually blame, well, here, there needs to be someone else professional there that's keeping him nearly in the back of your head. You know, someone, this a referee that's keeping an eye on the other side of the pitch, maybe, or keeping an eye on up in the stand. Or, I don't know. I don't know, lads. Let's say I'm not up to speed, but there's bound to be some. The people are talking about video and evidence. I don't even think you need that. I think you need an additional referee that's really professional at that level, Munster and Leinster Championship knockout games. It's very important we get it right. Like,
yeah, I thought, Graham, and it was very interesting as regards Colm Lyons going back up to an umpire who was 50, 60 yards away looking for advice. And you're kind of going, geez, like, that's, in fairness, I agree with you. And it's something I think about or thought about a good bit. My wife is still playing hockey, and they have two referees playing, obviously, club hockey in Leinster or whatever. But, like, it's just, you know, if they can do it there, like, in a Munster Championship match where the ball is whizzing, where, you know, there's so many other variables going on. I think I agree with you. And one point on the Austin thing, and just talking to guys that were at the match, and maybe they were looking at through the Watford lens, but they said the Cork defenders, from start to finish, were obviously being very, very physical with Austin. And, look, yes, he has to be prepared. Yes, he has to be, but at the same time, I just think, look, maybe a second referee or something like that might really get those decisions right. And if he's the culprit, fine, give him the red card or whatever else. But yeah, I just think the referees do need help. That's a really good point from Graham.
If you...
See, the problem with those sending it off as well, Ben, just sorry to cut across you, but, like, in my opinion, I think this is filtering down then into club level. You know what I mean? Like there's lads in club level nowadays, and sure, they hardly have to go onto the field at all, and they get a red card. You know, there's red cards in every hurling game now. You know, it's kind of becoming commonplace. Whereas maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was like, you know, it's a surprise somebody got sent off. Now there's a red card nearly every second game, and you know, we're like I've said it before, hurling is a contact sport. Like there's going to be contact with lads, with a hurl, with body on body, with collisions, all that is going to happen. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't take that out of the game, because that's the part of the game that gets the crowd going, that really gets people on their feet, that brings the excitement, that brings the buzz into the game. And like, if you take that out of it, sure, you haven't got much other than a free taking contest and lads just going around hitting points over the bar. You know, you have to have man on man stuff. And I'm not advocating lads pulling on each other, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think there's no place in the game for lads being dirty, but by Jesus, if you can't have physicality, if you can't have fellas, you know, there's a protection mechanism in the game as well with your hurl. You know, sometimes when a lad does pull a stroke on you or whatever, you have to protect yourself, and that's a skill in itself, you know. So I just think these red cards are filtering down then into the club game, and you'll get to a situation where you're having two or three sent off every day, and that's the last thing we want.
Yeah.
It's a particular hatred of mine now. When you see Austin's second yellow card, when you see two lads have a bit of a scuffle, they go down on the ground, the ref comes over, he doesn't have a clue what happened, two yellow cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that is likely to happen to Austin Gleeson every day he goes out. So surely he has to think, for his first yellow card was definitely a yellow card with a late shoulder. Surely he has to be smarter not to do the first one, because you can easily get caught with the second one, no?
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. He has to be smarter on the first one, like, because again, he's been looked at too, you know. Maybe if someone else ran in with a late shoulder, he might get away with. But
yeah,
these referees are all been marked, and they're all been assessed at all the games. So, you know, they'll be brought in and they'll be said, here, you missed a tackle, a late tackle on such and such, and you've done this. And it's very scrutinised, the whole thing, you know, but I do think they need that bit of help. And Austin, Groat Hegarty, Aaron Gallan, all these guys, they need to be a wee tad smarter in them scenarios, like, you know. And you take a look at some of the challenges and some of the attacks of high balls and stuff that are going on in hurling at the minute. Dermot Burns came with a monster catch halfway through the second half, or 10 minutes before the end of the second half, and he was about 3 foot in the air. See, if he hadn't won that ball, he probably would have been booked, because he just came right over in the boys. And people, like, the sellout stadiums in Munster and Leinster are for that reason, for these guys putting their bodies on the line. And you don't want that to, you know, be careful here, and don't be getting in for these challenges, because if you miss time it, you're going to end up in the line, you know. Like Rory says, we all want, like, the last few weeks have been absolutely immense with Munster and Leinster. Like, it's been brilliant. You don't want referees ruining the game, you know.
You don't want referees ruining the game.
No, you do. Like, you take it, like, you know, if you take the sendings off, like, there was nobody hurt in the processes of two major sins off. Like,
now, the Clare guy did make it look like he was hurt.
You have the Clare County Board on to you by now.
Would you look at, for an instant, like what the Clare fella did now, would you look like, a lad is going to get off, Hegarty's going to get off for that, right? But should there be a retrospective look at the Clare fella play acting, clearly trying to get him sent off?
Well, I would say if it was a junior game up here and he made a move like that, the guy that got sent off would maybe go back to him and make sure he gets sent off for something. So, me, Rory, if that happened in an intermediate game, would you go back to him after receiving the red?
I know. I'd be so placid, Graham, that I'd just walk off and take your punishment. The Clare player definitely won't be happy this morning. I think Jesus, like, he did. Obviously, you don't want to overplay it, but there is a manliness about hurling as well, and you know you don't want to see that type of thing happening either. That if you're not really hit, lads going down, because that's something that's maybe coming into the game as well. I've seen that happen in club games down here a few times in the last few years as well, and you don't like to see that either. You know, if you're hit, fair enough, and your score go down, no problem. But by Jesus, if you're not hit, you know, get up and go again. I remember the what was the All-Ireland final, the 2009 All-Ireland, and Benny Dunn nearly took the head off Tommy Welsh in the All-Ireland, and he hopped up off the ground straight away. You know, he could have laid down all day long, but to be fair to him, he got up off the ground, and you know, Benny got sent off, but Tommy wasn't overplaying it, to be fair to him, and that's the way hurlers should be on the field.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, lads, I think we've covered enough. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Alright, thanks a million, guys.
All right.
So no red cards from now on.
No more.
Put them away. Good luck, lads.
We can remove the refs.
Yeah. Good luck.
Bye.
Have a good one, lads. Good luck.
Thanks, lads.
Take care.